Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we are going to interview Evie Chinari. She is a PhD and Vice President of Research and Development at MTF Biologics. And you might know about MTF. This is the company that's Renuva. They're a really amazing fat product. Dr. Chinari holds a PhD in biomedical engineering from Rutgers University. She spent over 2 decades talking about tissue characterization research and regenerative medicine. She is an inventor on multiple patents. I did not know that. She has authored more than 20 peer-reviewed scientific publications and a book chapter in the field. And right now, her work focuses on biologic materials used in tissue regeneration and soft tissue restoration. She's also an active member of the International Federation for Adipose Therapy and Science, the Wound Healing Society, and the Orthopedic Research Society. And she joined us today to talk about what is the extracellular matrix, what are the technologies that are evolving there, and adipose tissue regeneration, and how biologic scaffolds like Renuva, which is the fat replacement product, can support soft tissue remodeling. So, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you, Evie.
Thank you very much. Pleasure
Yeah.
to be here.
So before we dive into Renuva, can you tell us a little bit about MTF Biologics? What's the company about? What's their unique mission?
Yeah, of course. MTF Biologics is a 501c3 nonprofit tissue bank. We were founded in 1987 by orthopedic surgeons who were seeking a high quality and safe source of allografts. It's still governed and guided by surgeons. We have a board of directors, a medical board of trustees, with members from academic institutions throughout the country. And their experience is what drives our donor selection criteria and our processing and the way we bring tissues to the market. Our mission is to save and heal lives by honoring the donated gift, serving patients and advancing the science of tissue transplantation.
Oh, that is such a noble and broad mission. It's so rare to see a company that's in the commercial space, but it's also a nonprofit. So generally all the revenue and resources get driven back into more research and more patient care. So that's terrific. And then because it's run by surgeons, how does that translate into the way that products like Renuva are developed and like brought all the way to market?
Yeah, it translates in multiple ways. One of them is our donor selection criteria are very stringent. They exceed industry and regulatory standards because we want to ensure the highest allograft safety and quality. They are established, as I mentioned to you, by our medical board of trustees. And these are surgeons from leading academic institutions who use our tissue. So they have to put care in selecting criteria that will provide that quality that they're looking for. So every donor is also carefully reviewed by our medical directors to ensure that there's full compliance with these rigorous standards. And we also have a large donor recovery network that gives us the right of first refusal or priority in accessing these donors. And that arrangement ensures that we have access to sufficient donor tissue to meet our criteria. Then our surgeons also help us develop our philosophy, which is aseptic processing. And we really believe that this is important for the safety and the quality of the tissue because we want to avoid thermal radiation that has a negative impact on tissue quality. And last but not least, as you mentioned before, as a non-for-profit, we strive to advance the science of tissue transplantation. So we have a grant program that we provide the opportunity to whoever is interested in doing research in allografts that is translatable to apply. And the revenues, the service fees that come to MTF, the excess goes back into research. So we want to create scientific evidence.
Wonderful. That's great. So Renuva is describe what it is for the audience that doesn't know.
Of course, it is a natural off-the-shelf adipose-derived extracellular matrix. We have full-thickness skin donors that come to MTF for our dermal grafts, and the subcutaneous adipose tissue that comes along with those. We develop a process to make sure that we remove unwanted components while preserving the structure and the composition of adipose, and create a human cell and tissue-based product that can be placed anywhere in the subcutaneous space where adipose naturally exists. So Renuva doesn't have a specific indication. It just has to be used in a space adjacent to where fat would normally exist. And it does not just occupy space, it's recognized by the body of the recipient, and their own cells now infiltrate, attach, and remodel it into fat over time.
And so that maybe the audience is not aware, but can you explain what the tissue donor situation is, that this is coming from
Yeah,
cadaveric fat?
this is deceased donors that have consented for providing their tissues for transplantation. And in cases where Renuva is used, Renuva is prepared, we also have consent for cosmetic use. So only for the donors that have consented for cosmetic use, we take tissue and prepare Renuva for your patients.
I think there are a couple new fat products coming to market that are also fat replacement. That I would love to compare and contrast to understand how these different products are related, interrelated, or completely different.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
of course. So Renuva is 100% extracellular matrix. So we have removed all the components that we believe are not wanted, such as the donor cells, genetic material, and lipid that could cause an immune reaction and/or some inflammatory reaction. And we preserve the collagens, the glycosaminoglycans, the hyaluronic acid, the growth factors that are naturally found in the extracellular matrix of adipose. The new entrants to the market preserve adipocytes, the preserve intact adipocytes. In the case of Alloclay, they claim they remove the genetic material while preserving the intact adipocytes. And then after processing the tissue, they undergo terminal radiation for decontamination purposes. In contrast, what we do is a validated chemical process that is patented because we want to avoid radiating tissues due to, the negative impacts that have been published in literature.
Can you explain what those negative impacts are? Because I think some people are touting that irradiating is fine.
There's change in the structural proteins, the conformation of the proteins, and that leads to not the right recognition by the patient cells. So the incorporation and the remodeling could be compromised, and that is what mainly we are trying to avoid. We want to stay as natural as possible so that we have the optimal interaction with patient cells and remodeling into their own fat.
And then I think lipoderma is a product that's on the market also that seems to be saying that might they have more active fat cells that are alive, that are living, that are able to become living fat cells.
Yeah,
Clear me up if I'm wrong.
there's very limited evidence there exactly what they have. They mention mainly devitalized cells. I am not sure whether they preserve some viability also, but they do not irradiate. They gently process the tissue. They do have intact adipocytes. And I do not believe that they are removing, they have processes to remove the genetic material, but I'm not 100% sure. So I don't know how that would impact the performance. Maybe it would be a little more inflammatory, a little more, you would get some reaction to it. But yeah, it's more gently processed. And the I guess the physical appearance and the structure varies a lot from tissue to tissue. So Renuva is like a flowable paste, and Lipoderma seems to be very liquidy,
Yeah, it is.
and Alloclase very thick and very structural. So the injectability is impacted by that nature. So probably they focus more on larger volume, sort of liposuction type, like you would do fat grafting, that kind of avenue, whereas we focus more on precision, smaller volumes, and injectability.
I think there's so much marketing message out there that there's not, like some of the companies, for example, Alloclay wasn't able to find a ton of peer-reviewed research and medical publications. And I even think that Lipoderma has very little. But what kind of things should a practitioner be looking at and asking themselves as far as safety and efficacy when they're looking at a fat? Like a fat injection replacement product.
They should look for evidence, and evidence that is systematic, from starting from what the composition of what you have in your hands is, how it interfaces with cells, preclinical studies on what it does, and then clinical applications and how it performs in different settings.
And if you don't remove genetic material from those fat transfer products, what kind of consequences can that have?
It could have adverse events. It varies from patient to patient, but it could start with some inflammatory process. You could get even some immune reaction. So that would be pretty negative and pretty robust as a response, especially depending on where it's injected.
When you talk about extracellular matrix, does that mean it's for Renuva itself? It's just the structural scaffolding and support, and how much actual adipose is in there?
There's almost no adipose. It's a structure, exactly what you said, is the structural support. It's the collagens, glycosaminoglycans, hyaluronic acid, and the factors that naturally reside in the matrix. And that's the framework that the cells of the recipient now recognize as their own, and they can start the whole process of remodeling it into the patient's fat or the recipient's fat.
So one of the fascinating things about Renuva is that the patient's own living fat cells gravitate towards this new matrix that's being injected, and then they take up house and start living there and thriving and growing there.
That is correct. And that happens gradually. We see cell infiltration as early as 3 weeks, maybe even earlier, but we haven't investigated earlier than that. But you see, vascularity starts first, and that is very important for preserving the viability and the health of the fat that is remodeled into the scaffold. And then adipocytes start increasingly repopulating it.
It's so interesting. Do we have any thoughts on the science of that, or what attracts adipocytes into a matrix? And what makes, angiogenic cells start growing there?
The epitopes of all the factors that are there, the matrix proteins and the growth factors, are the ones that the cells recognize. And then those, the right combination of factors, because you take the matrix that naturally is fat and you preserve everything that the cells recognize as fat, then those instruct the cells of the patient to migrate there, repopulate, and act as fat.
Interesting. And then you've had some clinical examples where that fat actually can grow and is viable and is seen there for, like, there's a couple cases that are 5 years or eight years out, I think,
8
even.
years out. Absolutely. And we tried to do, we did one translational study that was a paniculectomy study with Dr. Rubin at UPMC. And that one had 10 patients that were pre-injected with Renuva at multiple sites in their abdomen 3 months and 6 months prior to their operation. And we allowed for Renuva to interact with their own cells. And then when the paniculectomy took place. We took the PANUS and we could do exhaustive histology of what happened to Renuva 3 and 6 months post-injection. And that gave us a good idea of that translatability between our preclinical studies, that we saw that gradual adipocyte repopulation happened exactly the same in humans as well. So
So
that was good
interesting.
because, you know, when you have clinical studies that are corrective, you don't want to go back. It's hard to go back and take biopsies. We have done that as well for consenting patients, but we wanted to make sure that we do detailed histology for us to understand that revascularization and remodeling into fat.
So interesting. So it does remodel into their own tissue.
It does, yeah. Because we
And
start with no adipocytes, or in the preclinical studies, you have mice and then you see human adipose cells. I mean, sorry, you have no cells in the human tissue, and then you see mouse cells infiltrating. So it's host specific what you get in Renuva.
wow, wait, say that again. I'm not sure I caught that.
Yeah, so we don't have any cells in the matrix, so
Right.
there's nothing to
It's
stain to
acellular.
begin with. And then when it is injected over time, you see host-specific cells. So if it's in a mouse, you see mouse adipocytes infiltrating in preclinical studies. If it is in humans, you see obviously human cells infiltrating. So you see that activity no matter what species it is injected, the host repopulates it and recognizes the proteins.
Nice. Do you think there are areas in the body where you've seen Renuva really shine compared to other options?
Yeah, we have seen a lot of success where small volumes and precision delivery is required. So face, hands, scars, rippling, some contour irregularities. This is where Renuva has restored the natural volume and has that nice predictable outcome over time.
That's true. There are other some of the other products, like for example, Eloclay might be stiffer and more hard to inject for high precision areas, so maybe more targeted towards body or other areas. Lipoderma might be very, very soft and not substantial enough, but I guess it depends on what area you're injecting in.
Correct.
Yeah, I think we should talk a little bit about Ozempic and Ozempic face and the effect that the GLP-1s are having on fat throughout the body, facial fat, body fat. We're seeing everything from Ozempic hair to Ozempic face, Ozempic boob, Ozempic butt. Everybody's deflating.
Yes.
So, can you explain a little bit about the interaction of the GLP-1s with the fat cells? In
Well,
general, not from,
yeah. So what would happen is I'm not exactly the GLP, I'm not sure about the mechanism exactly of GLP-1s acting to reduce the fat of the patients. But what we have seen when Renuva has been used in GLP-1 patients, when you depending on your metabolic state, Renuva can have optimal or not so optimal results. So when you're in the active fat loss phase, you still get results, but may not be as effective or as optimal as you would wish. Because what
Interesting.
happens is even for athletes, if you are in a phase where you lose your own fat, you try to create it, you lose again. So whatever happens to your fat will happen to fat formed by remodeling Renuva. Once they're in the maintenance phase, then that is a good time to use Renuva. From what we have seen, we don't have any prospective studies around that. And it would be that question obviously keeps coming up, and it's very important and very hot this time, right? Everyone,
There is.
a lot of people gear towards GLP-1s, and they want to know how they can correct the deficiencies that are created through that process, the fat deficiencies.
It's very important. The more I see the GLP-1 patients, I love the metabolic regulation is amazing, but I do see this like very rapid fat destruction process, and I'm wondering, I think with some of our therapies, like even with collagen stimulators, that we resupport vascularity to the fat and it comes back. But I think that that's a whole new frontier of what we need to understand and the importance of the fat. So fat cells themselves are important because they create adipokines, and they're also nourishing to, I think, mesenchymal. Of course, there's mesenchymal stem cells within the fat. Can you talk a little bit about that bioregenerative nature of fat?
All these factors, fat has been linked to even qu skin quality and production of elastin locally, and you get that beautiful effect cosmetically. And that is because vascularity is formed, and the different components that are produced matrix-wise in the area revitalize the skin and create a beautiful look. We have, in terms of how this, I'm not sure exactly what you were asking me here, like science of adipose or
Yeah, a little bit about adipose science, because the fat cell, like fat is vilified, you know. We don't we have to be skinny, we don't like fat, but fat has so much beneficial properties to it. Like everything
absolutely.
we hear is quite negative, like it holds inflammatory cytokines and interleukins, it builds up estrogens that, are, gonna make you get more menopausal. So, what are some of the positive qualities of fat, and how does it help regenerative beauty, like as far as skin quality? And, when you're missing your fat, what happens to the skin?
Yeah, you lose the structure and the volume and the youthful appearance. You have you cannot recreate that with synthetic materials necessarily. You have to have that interaction, the vascularity that goes through the fat. And the local environment, the proteins, the collagens, the elastins that are produced, this is very important for structural and healthy appearance, structural look and healthy appearance of the skin. And we also have, it has metabolic effects and it has protective functions of the underlying structures. So it's in a way very, very beneficial for functional and for cosmetic appearance.
Yeah, I think that maybe people don't realize it has a lot of healing properties too. Like sometimes when we're doing laser, we might put some nano fat just topically on the skin after laser, because it does have a lot of those kind of growth factors and things that are calming and improve healing. The mesenchymal stem cells that are in the, for example, in our nano fat, when we process that, that really speeds healing. So
That's correct, and we have seen examples of that in scars. When you inject fat, you see that suppleness, the structure of the overlying dermis changes, and it becomes more elastic and more supple. When you use Renuva, even was used in wounds, just to build the structure under the wound and have that cushioning and protective nature between the surface and the bone, and actually healed the wound. It epithelialized the wound, so the local environment changes a lot when fat is formed because of all the metabolic activity and the factors that are secreted and the stem cells that it contains.
Do you think Renuva is a good solution for Ozempic face patients that have extreme facial lipo atrophy after going on bariatric surgery or weight loss shots or HIV lipo atrophy?
I believe it's a very good solution. And it will help rebuild that structure that is missing in that area. And the patient's cells will infiltrate and rebuild their own fat.
Do you think it's going to replace the idea of fillers, or how do you see it working in a filler world?
I think it's different. They can address different needs. When the replacement of fat is and the gradual and subtle appearance is what is needed, that is long lasting, Renuva can fill that void. If it's something more immediate, more volumizing, more not necessarily skin quality and subtle and long-term related, then that could be satisfied by fillers.
It's interesting. I don't know if you ever thought we'd see a day where we were trying to trigger more fat growth.
I know, and that was one of the things that we were kind of perplexed initially when some key opinion leaders that were coming through MTF and were looking at our dermis process, they were like, "Why are you throwing away fat?" We're like, "Who wants more fat? What can you do with it?" We were pretty naive, on the cosmetic side and even the reconstructive side. And through discussions, we realized how valuable fat can be, especially when you don't have it in the right areas where you need it. So we
Very
embarked on
interesting.
this whole development of
Do
Renuva.
you think a product like MTF would ever be used for breast augmentation, or is it the breast just such a tricky area due to cancer detection and mammography that you wouldn't really want to mess with the breast?
It is a tricky area, and also the volumes that are required in that space are quite large. And Renuva is focusing more on smaller, maybe it would be cost prohibitive for applications like that. But also, there's a lot of sensitivity and understandably on what the impact may be on something that has the natural composition of fat. What if you don't have 100% clear margins? What if you cannot detect accurately through imaging later if there's any concerns about cancer, so calcification? So all that plays into the decision making of having a tissue form like this injected in the breast. It depends on the practitioner, but there's a lot of scrutiny and a lot of sensitivity around that.
What happens when we dilute Renuva down a little bit? Like, for example, wanting to inject a neck and maybe making sure it's very uniform and not clumping. So, does that, if you dilute the extracellular matrix, are you just increasing the field where fat will populate, or is it reducing the effect by dilution?
It is definitely working quite well with dilutions. If it is over diluted, maybe the volumizing effects will be a little tapered because you're not going to have the full structure. It's going to be a little more spread out in a larger area. But definitely get repopulation and you still see the impact. If it's too dilute, you may hit a point where things are going to happen very slowly and probably to a lower degree. We had done some animal studies on that and we saw that definitely 2 to 3 times dilution is still okay, and you see that remodeling into fat. After beyond that, it gets slower.
That's interesting. So just slower, but do you broaden the effect of fat
Yeah,
coming in?
and there is and there is there are applications where people have used it for the neck, but it, as you said, it has to be diluted, and it's not necessarily volumizing, but it's more of diffuse remodeling, internal remodeling, and that has visual effects.
I think that's so interesting. Are you able to see that on ultrasound or increased thickness of the dermis, or how do you know that that's happening?
We haven't done study like that, but we have seen its visual photographic effects that before and afters that users have captured, and you see the change in the local area and the tightness of the skin.
Interesting.
But ultrasound would also be a good. I don't know if the thickness, it depends on how diffuse it is, whether the thickness will be the fat layer thickness change would be quantifiable.
Oh yeah. You can on ultrasound, like with collagen stimulators, you can see dermal thickening. So that might be a very interesting thing to look at for you guys. Because I do think that the neck especially lacks padding under the dermis, and if you could recreate that subdermal fat would be really great. And then you could show it on ultrasound with increased thickness. That'll be a good little study to run. I can help you with
Sounds
that.
good.
Wonderful. I think people also have questions. I have more questions about lipoderma, for example, how they say that they take a cell that's not really super viable, so it's not going to be full of active antigens. Like, for example, they say the nucleus is removed, I believe. I don't know, I don't want to quote wrong, but that's what I heard at the booth at
Oh,
the large
interesting.
meetings, that perhaps there was devitalized fat, that there's generally a small holes in the cells, so some of the nuclear tissue is not there, and that then that can be used more effectively. And like the cells don't die, that they survive and thrive.
If you remove the genetic material, the nucleus, I don't know how they would be revitalized. That's
Yeah,
interesting.
I don't really know. And then the cell membranes were weakened, so.
I know Alloclay claims that they and there are methods to do that to permeabilize the membrane slightly and get access to the genetic material and remove it, but to have that done and have the cells revive that is a little
Different.
strange. Like it doesn't
Maybe that is just
that.
essentially putting in a matrix.
Right,
Basically, the
right.
matrix is there, but there's a lot of who knows, like exosomes and juicy
Yeah,
growth
that.
factors surrounding the matrix, so fat comes in faster potentially. I don't really know.
Yeah, that I can see that there's maybe cell-associated markers and proteins and exosomes that could help the local tissue, but I'm not sure how the lipid that is also there interfaces. At some point, what happens long term to the adipocytes? They cannot just stay there forever. What
Yeah.
happens when they are kind of broken down and the lipid is released? All these questions, I'm very curious and very interested to see
Yeah.
how that resolves over time.
We would love to see some of their published, literature, early clinical reviews. I have one surgeon friend, Dr. Chernoff, showed me he had injected it on a facelift patient, and I think it was like 6 to 12 months later, he lifted the flap and you can see like the nice yellow fat. So he showed me a nice picture of that. So that was interesting. And it's funny that it's got quite such a yellow color, and I guess that's because it's got a lot of fat globules in it. So I guess it remains to be seen more what these fat substitutes will do, but people maybe don't understand the importance of the extracellular matrix. Can you talk a little bit about why that matrix is so important?
It is very important both for structure and because of its composition. So all these factors and exosomes you were just talking about, they are still present in the matrix as well. So those can help the patient cells recognize the what has been injected and that it's supposed to be fat. So they go in and they remodel it into the patient's own fat. So we see turnover of the matrix over time. In the paniculectomy study, we had seen as the adipocytes that have infiltrated increase, the extracellular matrix decreases, which means it's turned over by the cells. So that is very good to see that in the end, what you will ultimately have is your own fat. And nothing else.
There are a lot of marketing claims out there in the regenerative aesthetic space right now. And from a scientific standpoint, what should physicians and providers look for when they evaluate whether a product is really regenerating?
They should be looking for published studies where there is histology. I would say histology is the what shows you what happens over time to the tissue, and whether it is turning into the tissue of the patient, whether it stays there inert, whether it's partially remodeled, how fast that happens. So that would be very helpful as information, and anything that describes the composition and clinical impact of the tissue is very, very important to focus on beyond
Yeah.
what is in marketing brochures and claims, published literature that's peer reviewed, that focuses on composition and effectiveness with hopefully hard data, histological information that's kind of undeniable information.
I think the histology speaks for itself. Like whenever a company gives me histology, I'm very convinced,
Right.
Some companies talk a lot about biomarkers. Well, they talk about gene string theory and turning on one thing or injecting one thing might activate genes all around it. But I'm curious, like I've heard some claims that PLLA is able to grow fat. What are your thoughts on that?
I haven't seen any hard evidence of that. There's a lot of theories around it. I'm a little surprised to hear that something that hasn't much to do with fat can help create fat. It would be interesting to see some studies where it actually preclinically used, and you can do the histology, do the gene expression analysis, and actually see that what happened is due to what was injected, as opposed to getting a picture and theorizing about it, because it's just very removed. I'm not saying it's not the case that it happens, but it would be more convincing if I would see how it happens. So, yeah, I'm still a little skeptical about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I do a lot of PLLA for butt injections and things like that. And I do perceive that there is volume enhancement and growth. But of course, we haven't really done biopsies of that. So it's all just kind of a clinical observation. But I would be so curious to learn more about that. I also am curious if calcium hydroxyapatite perhaps can help stimulate fat pads. This year, for the first time, I'm injecting that in for people who have Ozempic face in a very hyperdilute manner into the mid-face fat pads into the subzygomatic, submalar fat, and buccal fat space. And mostly I've only ever used that product in the dermis, right?
Yeah,
And
that's
so
interesting.
this is a very new approach, and we've had really good success up to even 1 year out where patients have lift and support and return of volume. And so we're using it now for treating that kind of Ozempic face. So the idea that this is just a dermal collagen stimulator, but no, it's not. Some of their maybe their histology is that they've done for dermal studies shows increased angiogenesis. So I'm kind of speculating that that's
Well,
what's
that's interesting.
supporting the fat, the more blood flow, the fibroblasts
Right.
get triggered, maybe those mesenchymal stem cells that are still there rejuvenate a little.
Yeah,
So,
could be. Could be.
interesting theory.
It doesn't have to be through creation of fat, but even the thickening of the surrounding tissue and the stem cell interaction could help build structure. That's what you want, right? Like you want more structure
Yeah.
to be there. Ideally, it's supple, and it's not fibrotic, right?
Right.
So that's the fine line between something that produces collagen versus something that restores the fat, that you want certain firmness and but you also want the suppleness in the area. You don't want it to be too stiff,
Yeah.
to be too stiff. So
I imagine it could do the same thing with PLLA too into the fat pad, so it's an idea. But also, if you're mixing Renuva in combination with Kaha, I vaguely feel like I've heard of some people doing that. Have you seen any results with that, the
There
hyperbed?
have been people doing it. We cannot speak about because it's a human
Yeah.
tissue-based product. We cannot recommend any combination of it with anything that has not been studied by us. But I have heard people combine it with a lot of different things, and they see good results. So they try to get that synergy between the two materials, and they're happy with it. So I
Yeah.
cannot speak to it,
Yeah.
but
You have to
it's
stick with
happening.
the labeled use for it. But what anecdotally, what are the things that you've heard of people blending?
With PLLA, with Kaha, with PRP, with growth factors,
So many
PDGF.
things. Yeah. Oh, with PGF, that's interesting. Super interesting. That would that give an inflammatory effect, do you think?
There will be some inflammation, but you need some inflammation to get the processes started, even the healing processes started. If it's excess, that's not a good thing, and it lasts a long time, prolonged. But if it is early on, and it just brings the right cells in and it starts the healing and the building process, then that is okay. It would also possibly impact angiogenesis. As a growth factor, that's what growth factors have specific functions. So if I had to theorize, that's what I would think it impacts.
Nice. With Renuva in our treatment toolbox, how does that compare kind of to fat grafting, fat transfer? Right now we have people who don't have a lot of fat, so definitely it's a great option for them. But if you When would you choose? When should a clinician think about fat transfer versus a Renuva type product?
Fat transfer for larger volumes, and when it's a healthy patient that has good quality fat, that would be more than fine. That's the gold standard. But in cases where you have either compromised patients with comorbidities or very thin patients that don't have their own fat or they don't want a donor site, in these cases, Renuva is very easy and it has very similar function as fat in the end. So you get your own fat. An interesting side for Renuva is that it doesn't have anything viable that, as it's injected, viable cells that need to be preserved. So the way it is injected is not as critical. Of course, string of pearls or fan technique would give access to more cells to infiltrate and remodel, but even in a slightly more bolus state, it can still be infiltrated, create that vascularity it needs. There's not going to be necrosis. So that is a consideration as well.
Interesting. So I think that this is such a great product for us to have in our armamentarium. I am really excited to use it, and I've definitely used Renuva. I really liked the results. I'm excited for physicians who've never used it before. What would you want them to understand, or just a little summary about the product?
The main thing is that Renuva is 100% extracellular matrix derived from human fat. So that allows you to have the structure and the natural composition to restore your fat naturally. So that's the main message around Renuva. It can restore the patient's fat naturally
Very
and it's
nice.
long lasting.
That's what everybody wants, to look natural and have it last. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Dr. Chinnari is so brilliant. She really knows everything there is to know about fat. I
You
can't
so
thank
much
you
for the
enough.
opportunity.
How can people reach out if they have additional questions?
MTFbiologics.org is our website, and I can provide my information. To you.
What's your best email or Instagram handle or LinkedIn?
Yeah, so EVANGELIA underscore CHNARI at MTF.org is my email address that you can find me at. I will be happy to get questions and interface with people who are interested.
That's amazing. I can't wait to see you at the next meeting. And I hope you guys learned a lot about bioregenerative therapies from fat products that are out there on the market. The present one, Renuva, which has, I think, the most peer-reviewed scientific evidence around it. And that's what I started with. That's what I'm really comfortable with. But we have things to learn about new products coming. And always using scientific validation is the way to go. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K. It's DrKay. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. And that's where you can find our brand new peptide wellness skincare line with great ingredients like GHK copper, glutathione. It has NAD precursors. I have my own collagen elastin peptide complex that really boosts your collagen production. And it's just a new way to treat your skin. It makes the energy of skin cells much more alive. All right, that's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.